In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, our gospel reading from St. Matthew provides us with a glimpse into the complexity of the situation Joseph found himself in. When he and Mary discover that she is with child. Just as with Mary, who has this perplexing event communicated by God's divine grace through the annunciation of the angel Gabriel, Joseph also experiences God's will for him through an angelic visitor. And so this morning, we focus on and remember Joseph. To me, sadly, Joseph is the forgotten one. All the attention is on Mary in our culture. But today, we are invited to contemplate the heart of Joseph. He and Mary were betrothed. That means they were engaged to be married. But then God turns their world upside down. His beloved bride-to-be tells him that she is pregnant, though not through a man, but by divine intervention, through the work of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, think about this. Joseph is faced with the unimaginable. Jewish law was clear. Any woman who is engaged, betrothed, who becomes pregnant by a different man, is to be stoned to death. And so Joseph is faced with what to do. The beautiful young woman he loved and planned a future with could be stoned to death. Undoubtedly feeling the full weight of what everyone would probably think was betrayal by Mary, and then on the other hand, torn by his love for his bride-to-be, Joseph thinks there's only one thing he can do. He can sacrifice his entire future, his plans, everything he hoped and dreamed for, the love of his life, to save the young woman he loved. And so Matthew says he decided to put her away privily, privately. Because they were engaged and not married, a couple who were betrothed were able to divorce without giving any reason according to the Jewish law before they got married. And so in order to save Mary's life, Joseph decides he will give her up. Why do we forget Joseph? He couldn't bear the alternative to see the girl he loved, even if she had betrayed him. He would not allow that to happen. I'm sure the news initially gave Joseph some anger and wondering what really has happened. So Joseph is one of those saints that sadly never receives the full admiration he so justly deserves. But of course, that's happily not the end of the story, is it? While he ruminates about how he can save Mary's life by giving up the love of his life and his whole future he had planned, God intervenes yet again. The angelic visitor comes to Joseph in a dream and tells him the same message he told to Mary. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she will bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save people from their sins. Fear not. Those should be familiar words to us. God's chosen words to all people he chooses to do great and unimaginable things for him. When Gabriel announced to Mary she would bear God's son, Mary too was overcome by perplexity and fear. But Gabriel reassures her, "Be not afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And if that's not enough, remember the holy night when Jesus is born. The shepherds are doing what shepherds do. They're out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And then their lives are disrupted. God seems to like disrupting lives to accomplish his will. Just when you think you know what direction your life is going in, something comes along and intervenes and changes our lives forever. So the glory of God is revealed to the simple shepherds. And the angels say, what else? Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Whenever God has something too wonderful to imagine, too wonderful for words, He reveals it to simple people like us. And He tells us all, don't be afraid. Fear not. Why? Well, because we human beings, when our lives get disrupted, are almost always afraid. I suspect God knows something about us, namely that we don't like change. We don't like the unknown. But faith always requires us to say yes. Even to things we can't imagine or understand, He always asks us to give our yes, our amen, to His great plans for us. And you may find it difficult to believe, but God has something great for every single one of us to do for Him. He has a purpose for every single one of us. And of course, the biblical story shows the typical response when God asks us to do something significant. What? Who? Me? You must be kidding. Moses said, well, I don't speak very well. God said, well, I'll give you Aaron. Take him along. David was just a little guy. Goliath was this big, big guy. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm a sinful man, and I dwell in the midst of a sinful people. I'm not good enough. I'm a sinner. Well, I hate to say it, but that's all God has to work with. And then God always reminds us of a simple truth, namely, Bill, Daniel, Nancy, you won't be doing it alone. I will be with you. Our gospel reading this morning reminded us of this truth about God's invitation for us to do great things. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God doesn't expect us to do wonderful things all by ourselves. If he did expect that, we would be inadequate. No, God always says, you and I are a team in ministry. I will supply you with the vision. I will supply you with the power. I will be with you to accomplish my purposes. All you need to do is figure it out and say yes. Mary and Joseph. You will call this child to be born Jesus. The name Jesus literally means to deliver, to rescue. Jesus is a Greco-Roman derivation of the Hebrew word Yeshua, translated into English as Joshua. Who was Joshua? Joshua was the great biblical leader of the Old Testament, born into slavery in Egypt until God decided to do a great thing through Moses and Joshua, to call them to freedom. Joshua became Moses' right-hand man. He accompanied up on the mountain of Sinai. He broke the tablets when they came back down and found the golden calf. But Joshua's greatest privilege from God was to lead the Hebrew people across the Jordan River to take over the promised land, the land promised to Abraham, the land flowing with milk and honey. Joshua, too, was a deliverer, a rescuer. No wonder the Savior of the world should be named Jesus. Well, in part, we can celebrate Christmas because a man named Joseph was faithful and trusted God's reassurances to fear not about the future in the unknown, found a place in Joseph's heart. And that's all God needs, as a person whose heart is given over to him. He'll do the rest. He'll give us the vision. He'll guide us along the path, if only our heart places our trust in him. So as we begin a new calendar year, I say to you, St. Bede's, fear not. for whatever lies ahead in the coming year. And I close by reminding you of the prophet Jeremiah's words from the 29th chapter of his book, verse 11. Jeremiah reminds us of God's intervention in our lives when he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That's God's promise to us. May we, like Joseph, like Mary, like David, like Moses, like Joshua, say, "Yes, here am I, Lord, send me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.